Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. A reminder, if you have a favorite episode of the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio that we played, or a favorite program, email it to me, and let me know about it. Box13@greatdetectives.net. We'll be selecting three of your choices, that we will go ahead and play as, specials during our listener support campaign coming up in August. So email it to me and include in the subject line, play it again, Adam, and, I'll choose the three best entries. It can either be an episode or just name a program. Try and get them to me by the end of July. All right, well, now it is time for today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, brought to you by the financial support of our listeners, The Kalen Matter, Part 5.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Sergeant Reynosa, Johnny.
Oh, I was just going to call you.
Has he talked yet?
Pete Stimer is dead.
When?
A few minutes ago. He almost regained consciousness for a few seconds, and that was all. There's no chance to question him.
It's too bad.
Yeah, he might have been able to clear it up for us.
I think maybe it is cleared up, Johnny, or will be at least in the next hour.
What do you mean?
We picked up Marty Midnight.
When? Where?
A few minutes ago at the bus depot with a ticket for San Diego in her hand. I haven't talked to her yet. They're holding her downtown headquarters. Why don't you meet me there?
Fine, right away.
Looks like the wind-up, Johnny.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Los Angeles, to the home office, Trinity Mutual Insurance Company Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Kalen Matter. Expense account, final page. Item 12, $1.60, taxi from Queen of the Angels Hospital to police headquarters and interrogation room 9. The police clerk showed me to the observation anteroom and left. I paused for a moment and looked in through the one-way mirror window. Sergeant Reynosa was already there, and the girl, Marty Midnight, sat facing him across a plain wooden table. He was glancing through the arrest file and apparently hadn't started to question her yet. She was younger than I'd expected, not over 22 or 23, and she was obviously scared. But her face was set and ready, sullen, defiant. I tapped on the door, and the jail matron let me in.
Oh, come on in, Johnny. Take that chair, if you will.
Thanks.
When do I get to see a lawyer?
You go under the name Marty Midnight?
That's right. I said
what's your real name? How long have you been in Los Angeles? Where'd you live before that? You see we got hold of here, Johnny?
Yeah, I see.
One of those wise ones, or so she thinks. If you're ever arrested, keep your mouth shut. Somebody told her that back along the line. She thinks it's good advice.
I want a lawyer.
Don't talk. They can't pin anything on you. She believes it. She'll probably still believe it right at the door of the gas chamber.
I haven't done anything. You've got to let me see a lawyer. It's a law.
You'll see one at the usual time. I know that law too, Marty. And you're not being deprived of any of your legal rights. What's your real name? Well, then I guess we'll have to contact your folks and see if they have any influence.
Contact my folks? Who are they? Go on, tell me.
Well, let's see. Oh, yes, Mr. and Mrs. John R. Jack Lyon of San Diego at 426...
How did you find out?
And your name is or was Jean Luann Jackline?
Don't let my folks know, please. I'll talk, Sergeant. I'll answer anything you want to know. If you just won't use my real name. If you won't let my folks find out, please.
Suddenly, she was just a frightened kid, not a hard-boiled little chorus pony, a nightclub stripper, but only a scared girl who didn't want her folks to find out. She kept her head down, and she answered Reynosa's questions, her eyes lowered like a repentant school kid who'd been caught playing hooky. Then I remembered. The charge here was murder.
Did you know that Eddie Kalin was married when you started going around with him?
Not at first.
And later you found out, but you kept on going with him.
Well, he said he was getting a divorce. He said he'd been trying to get free of his wife for 6 months, but she wouldn't let him.
Did you believe that?
Well, yes. I don't know. I didn't until he came here that night. He said we're going to run away to Mexico together.
The night he killed Mike Kelso?
Yes, but I told you I didn't know about that until 2 days later. And it was self-defense, honest. Mike was trying to hold him up to get back the money Eddie won in that poker game. It was self-defense.
Then why did Eddie go into hiding?
Well, I told you that, too. It was his chance to get away from Lila and...
Where were you going when the police arrested you over there in the bus station?
San Diego. To my folks. Nobody here ever knew me by any name except Marty Midnight. I didn't think you could trace me.
And you didn't want to be traced?
Well, of course not. I came back and saw the police car at my apartment, and then I knew you'd found Eddie. I didn't want to be mixed up in it.
Why'd you kill him? Marty?
Kill who?
Eddie.
It wasn't Eddie. It was Mike Kelso. Eddie's the one who killed him in a fight. I told you that. It was... Oh, but you know it wasn't Eddie. You picked him up at my apartment, didn't you?
Yeah, sure. We picked him up. In a basket.
What?
He's across the street from the morgue. Why'd you kill him, Marty?
I didn't kill anybody. I didn't know Eddie was dead. I was coming home and I saw the police car. I thought you'd found him, that's all. I didn't know he was dead. I didn't kill him. You gotta believe me. I didn't know anything about it. Honest.
Honest. Marty Midnight. Sharp, hard, tough, a striptease dancer who'd been around, knew all about it. Marty Midnight, a scared, sobbing little child. Honest. Cross my heart and hope to die. Well, maybe she would. I left a few minutes later, and Sergeant Reynosa walked out with me to get a breath of air. It was a cold, gloomy night with a gray dawn just ahead. Three people were dead. And in the great stone building we walked out of, the machinery was grinding away, getting ready to take the life of a fourth one.
Well, I guess I better get back inside, Johnny.
Yeah, all right, Sergeant.
The lab boy's making a paraffin test. You know, it's too bad. She's just a kid.
Yeah.
I was hoping it'd be Topo Leanley. That I'd love. He's long overdue.
Well, he's still on the loose.
It's a kid up there. You know it, and I know it. And anything else is just wishful thinking. That witness saw her leave, saw her wipe off the gun, throw it back into the apartment.
Yeah, I know. Well?
Where'll you be, Jenny? The hotel?
Oh, not for a while. I'm going to stop by Lila Kalin's.
At this time of night?
Oh, she'll be waiting up. I promised her I'd see her and tell her what happened. She's taken quite a beating out of this mess.
Why did they do it, Johnny? Why did dames fall for a guy like Eddie Kalin?
Philosophy? At this time of morning? I'll see you later. Expense account, item 13, $2.80. Taxi fare to the Argus Terrace Apartments to talk to the widow and beneficiary, Lila Kalin.
Oh, Johnny, come on in.
Thanks, Lila.
I've been sitting in here in front of the fireplace all night long. I'd almost given you up.
Well, a lot of things happen. Man, I'm really beat.
Coffee or a drink?
Coffee, I guess. Black.
Is it all over now, Johnny?
Well, it amounts to that. They've apparently got the killer.
Who?
That girl he was hiding out with, Marty Midnight. She's a striptease dancer.
Why? Why did she do it?
The money, I suppose. They haven't found it yet, but they will.
Here's your coffee.
Oh, thanks.
I feel sorry for her. Maybe because I feel sorry for myself or anybody who ever got mixed up with Eddie. Why do we do it, Johnny? Why do we go blind when a guy like that comes along?
I don't know. You tell me.
I wish I knew.
Maybe a girl I met yesterday evening had it tagged. She said she knew Eddie was always lying. But he made it sound so exciting.
He did. I had 4 years of it. Never knowing when he'd walk out and not come back. Never knowing who he was with. Knowing only one thing for sure. That he was lying to me every hour of the day. Now that it's over, I wonder why I went through with it. But he did make it sound exciting.
Well, the best thing you can do, Lila, as soon as it's cleared up...
Who can that be?
Oh, it might be Sergeant Reynoso. I told him I'd be here.
Hello? Oh, yes, just a moment. You were right.
Thanks. Yeah.
Hold on to your hat, Johnny. It's wide open again.
What do you mean?
That paraffin test. Negative.
What?
Marty Midnight hasn't fired a gun in the last 2 days. She was telling the truth, witness or no witness. So it looks like Topo Leanley's the boy.
Sergeant, wait.
Huh?
What was Marty wearing when they picked her up at the bus depot?
Why, the same thing she was when you saw her. Skirt and sweater.
Did she have a coat on?
A short jacket. What are you getting at? Hey, Johnny, you still there?
Sorry, I was thinking, and it figures. Sergeant, can you come out here right away?
The Lila's place? Why?
It's important. Believe me.
All right, Johnny, right away.
What was it, Johnny?
Lila with the coal black hair. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you, Johnny.
Pepita has black hair, too. Marty Midnight.
Eddie only liked dark-haired girls.
But Marty didn't have a white raincoat. I'll bet you do, though.
What?
Where is it? Here in the closet?
Johnny!
Uh-huh.
What's this all about?
A witness saw a girl leave Marty's apartment right after the shots. But it was dark, and all the witness could make out was the black hair and the white raincoat.
What do you mean?
The witness saw the girl wipe off a gun on the front of her coat, then throw it back into the apartment and run. There are smudges on your raincoat, Lila.
It's grease off the door of the car.
Supposedly, you haven't been out of this place since I talked to you yesterday evening. But it hadn't started to rain then, and the coat's damp. Why did you kill him, Lila?
You're out of your mind, Johnny.
It's no use, honey. Reynoso is on his way out here. They'll make a paraffin test and prove you fired a gun. They'll probably dig up the taxi driver who took you out there. They'll search the place here, find the money. Was that it? The money? Was that why you killed him?
No. I didn't mean to. When I went out there. Yesterday evening while I was talking to you, I suddenly wondered if it might not have been somebody else's body in that car. I knew about Marty Midnight, of course. I knew about all of them. After you'd gone, I went out there. Waited until I saw Pete Steimer leave, finally Marty. And I forced my way in.
So?
Eddie was furious. We argued and fought. Eddie drew a gun on me. He threatened me. We struggled.
So that's going to be your pitch, huh? A plea of self-defense.
That's it, Johnny. Self-defense.
Well, good luck. You'll need it. Expense account item 13, $263.35. Incidentals, etc. in Los Angeles and plane fare back to Hartford. Expense account total, $596.85. End of expense account. End of report. Remarks? So the question still stands. Why do they do it? Why do girls go blind when the Eddie Kalins walk in? You might ask a stripteaser down in San Diego. But don't look for her under the name of Marty Midnight. She's Jean Luann Jackline now. A quiet kid. Lives at home with her folks. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's intriguing story.
Next week, the case of a beautiful girl who refuses to see the man she loves as he really is. A killer. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in this week's cast were Virginia Gregg, Lucille Meredith, Alma Lawton, Gloria Blondell, Howard McNear, Harry Bartell, Peter Leeds, and Byron Kane. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. I remembered that there was a twist, and we definitely got that towards the end. I think the role of the 22-year-old was classically played. One of these performances where there's a facade that's just absolutely stripped away by the reality and gravity of the situation. Those remain among some of my most of the best radio performances, because it does require some real depth from the actress. So a very sharp twist here. All right, well now let's go ahead and take a listen to part four of The Widow Is Willing.
Arthur Brown, Mysteries. Adventures in excitement and suspense, based on the best-selling novels by the slick storytelling sensation, Carter Brown.
Have you ever felt an ice-tipped finger hit the base of your spine and slide all the way out to the back of your skull? That was how I felt when the three shots and the scream shattered the silence. In the insurance racket, they consider Mark Hunt a strong character. In the Goldbright house, I considered Mark Hunt a scared kid. Mark Hunt wasn't arguing with me. How could he? He's me. When John Cross grabbed my arm and yelled frantically that it was Lila who'd screamed, my heart was in my mouth, but my gun was in my hand. Cross and I ran for Lila's room.
Lila, she's not moving.
Now don't go off half-cock, Cross. Let's take a look.
What has happened? I heard shots.
And the scream. It sounded like Lila.
Come on, quickly. The door's open.
Hunt, is she... Is Lila...
It's okay. She's still breathing. She's only fainted.
Fainted?
Then she has not been killed?
Oh, thank heaven.
But the shots. There were three of them.
Yeah, and if you look at the wall over the bed, you'll see where they ended up. She had a very lucky escape.
I'll kill him. I'll kill him!
The question is, who is him?
Yes, that is it. Who fired the shots?
You have the nerve to ask that, you murdering swine. Wasn't your fault those bullets missed. I had to take you apart with my bare hands, but I'm going to save you for the police.
DeGrescu, you are raving.
Stop it, both of you. Lila's moving. Mm-hmm. It's all right, honey. Everything's all right.
What happened? It was dark. The door opened. I saw a gun. There were shots.
It's all finished now, Lila, and you're safe. The shots missed.
Did I scream?
Did you scream? Baby, you made more noise than a hula girl huddled on an iceberg.
I suggest we all go downstairs. I think there's safety in numbers tonight. An excellent idea. I would not fancy going back to my own room now.
You don't have to worry. You wouldn't try to shoot yourself. More's the pity.
Cut it out, Cross. Let's get downstairs, as Beaver says.
Can you manage, Lila, honey?
Yes, of course I can, John. I'll be all right now.
Okay. Hey, you and Cross go first, Lila. Then Beavis and DeGrescu. I'll bring up the rear with Mavis.
Hang on to my arm, Lila, darling.
Thank you, Joe.
I am glad to be behind Mr. Cross. With his crazy notions, I would rather not be in front of him.
Well, it's no use looking to me for protection. I've never been the physical type.
You can say that again, kid.
Never mind your disappointments, Mavis. Listen to me.
What, Mark?
When we get downstairs, anything I say about the photograph, you back me up.
Why? What are you going to do?
Set a little snare for the killer, that's all. When we filed into the living room, someone realized it was breakfast time. But with the death of Clem Goldbright the night before, the hullabaloo with the police, the hours had been turned upside down. It was after everyone had eaten that I decided to try my idea. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got something to say. This situation can't go on any longer. I had intended keeping quiet until the police returned sometime tomorrow morning. That's impossible now.
What are you talking about, Hunt? Keep quiet about what?
Simply this. The identity of the murderer.
You know
who it is?
Yes, I know who the murderer is.
Who? Who is it, then?
You may remember after Henry Goldbright's death, Mavis mentioned a photograph. I believe she spoke of it vaguely to everyone. I'm sorry, Mavis, I have to tell this story.
Yes, Mark, of course.
Mavis was on the jetty when Henry was killed, and she had her camera with her. She saw a figure on the balcony, but the distance was too great for her to recognize who it was. But being a keen amateur photographer, she automatically raised her camera and got a shot.
Of the murderer?
She was desperate for money, both she and Roger. So Mavis thought the murderer would pay heavily for the photograph. She didn't care whether Henry's death was ever revealed as murder or not. She had no love for Henry. As long as she obtained enough money to keep their business solvent.
But I don't understand. Why did Mavis mention the photograph to everyone? Why not only to the murderer?
Because, like a lot of women amateur photographers, Mavis can take a picture, but she can't develop and print the film. So all she had was the exposed film. She didn't know who the murderer was. Then Mavis turned the film over to me. I can develop a film and print it. And once the film was developed, the murderer was known.
Who is it?
I think it better for everyone's sake if I don't tell you that. That must wait until Lieutenant Wilder and his men return in the morning. In the meantime, I'm going to my room. I shall stay there until the police arrive. I just want to add that I have a gun and I have no intention of sleeping. That's all. And that was it. The trap set, baited and ready to snap. I didn't really feel as confident as I sounded, but there's one thing I've always believed. If you're going to bluff, you might as well make it good. I left them looking amazed and wondering and went upstairs to my room. I checked my .32. This was no time to have a gun that was empty or was likely to jam. And then I settled down for the long wait. And a long wait it turned out to be. All through the rest of that day, I sat in my room and lit one cigarette after another and gazed at the view from my window. The sky changed from pearl to smoky to leaden gray. The water rippled and splashed and tumbled under the wind until darkness fell and I couldn't see anymore. I opened the window. Somewhere there was a faint glimmer of moon. That and the glow from my cigarette made the only light in my room. I wondered if I'd die from nicotine poisoning before I had a chance to find out who the murderer was. The strain was stinging at my nerves. Against the sound of the wind, I heard the murmur of voices as the occupants of World's End went to their rooms, to bed. All except one of them, I thought. And he or she would be waiting, as I was, till the house was completely still. The wind had changed its note. I looked at my watch in the darkness. Its luminous hands pointed to 1:30 a.m. My eyes felt as though 2-pound lead weights were hanging from their lids. I'd had no sleep for about 36 hours, and it was as much as I could do to keep them open. And then, from behind me, from the window which I'd left open, I heard a small sound. Someone was coming in.
Don't try anything foolish. I'd grab him for a gun. I'll pull the trigger before you can hope to get it.
Okay.
The film.
The negative, where is it?
This is strictly for laughs. It doesn't exist.
Don't stall. Where is it?
I told you it never existed. Sure, Mavis was there and she had a camera, but she never took the picture.
You're lying.
It was a bait and you swallowed it.
If it doesn't exist, then that's all I want to know. That puts me right in the clear. Dispense with you and no one can pin it on me.
You certainly put on a good act. A dumb college boy who never grew up. Grief and outrage when poor Lila was nearly killed. Only you never intended to hit her with those bullets, did you, Cross? You just wanted to make it look as black as possible for the Gresco.
Of course. Rather clever of me, I thought. I'll marry Lila and get all the dough I want. And neither you nor anyone else is going to stop me, Hunt.
Maybe.
No maybe about it. That fool Beavis girl had me worried. Those notes we exchanged, I thought she really had got a photo. I would have paid for it, too, but where was I going to get the money from? That's why I ignored her last note. I hoped her greed would keep her mouth shut. I thought she knew who I was and I'd realize that I'd have to wait to get the money.
That will of Henry's must have upset your calculations a little when you realized Lila wasn't getting all the money.
Keep your voice down. Yeah, it threw me for a while. Then I realized that once I got rid of Clem, the whole estate would be Lila's. So it didn't matter very much.
You don't think you'll get away with it, do you?
But I will. There's nothing surer. Yeah, I'm afraid we'll have to terminate this conversation. If you've any prayers, Hunt, say them now.
Forever. What's that?
The ghost of Henry Goldberg. You can't. There's one thing about ghost voices. Their timing's terrific.
It's a trick and you won't get away with it.
There's one advantage about sitting in a room all day. You get to know it so well that it doesn't matter when it gets dark.
I'll get you.
Yeah, that was your one chance. Too bad you missed.
The window. I'll take you with me.
Not if I can help it. That's right!
Hunt, are you all right?
We heard your voices, Mark.
Yeah, I'm fine. That was nice work, Roger. You timed it beautifully.
I didn't know what to do for the best. We weren't asleep. That is, I would have been, but Mavis kept me awake. When we knew the murderer was there, she thought of the ghost voice trick.
Well, it worked like a charm. In fact, I hate to think where I'd be without it.
In eternity, probably. Oh, I don't know what I'm laughing for.
And believe me, I wasn't laughing at the time. There's nothing funny about fighting for your life in the dark with a killer.
Mark, what's been going on? Mavis, Roger, what...
Calm down, Lila, it's all over. Oh. The guy who murdered your husband and your brother-in-law is down taking a drink.
A drink?
Yeah, in about 15 fathoms of water.
That scream
was Mr. John Cross diving out the window.
He was the murderer. John?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. I'll never trust another man as long as I live.
Who wants to be trusted? I got different ideas.
Like what?
Like a trip back to New York, preferably with a detour through Mexico.
Alone?
Not exactly. I was thinking of asking a certain widow along for company. I'm just wondering what she'd say.
I know what she'd say. The widow is willing.
This is Carter Brown. I guess being an insurance investigator has its compensations, for Mark Hunt anyway. And what a compensation. A beautiful blonde, and with money. There's a blonde in my next book, too, a story called Meet a Body, but it's not the blonde's. It belongs to a little guy named Jacob Finney, and the character who meets it is my hero, Sebastian Shaw, a private detective. So this is Carter Brown saying, so long for now, be seeing you.
In
In The Widow Is Willing, you heard Lyndall Barber as Lila Goldbright, while as Mark Hunt, you heard our star, Richard Meikle. The Carter Brown Mystery Theater, based on the best-selling novels by Carter Brown, is dramatized and directed by Morris Travers for Grace Gibson Radio Productions.
Welcome back. Well, we get the reason for the title at the end. I have some mixed feelings on this episode. Main thing is, this is one where, to me, the whole setup that we were attempting here just rang of obvious ruse. But maybe I should take heart and just write it off to not all criminals are as perceptive as we might like. So probably in terms of endings, this has probably been one of the more realistic and reasonable ones. We'll be back next week, not with the Carter Brown story that was advertised, because that one's missing, but we'll be back with another Carter Brown story next week. And also on Monday, we'll pick it up with another episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. We do have one listener comment, this one from VBTiger16 over on iTunes. Nice app, has what I want to listen to. Well, doesn't get much better than that. All right, well, that will do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the lineup. In the meantime, send your comments to Box13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.